When I was an undergrad, one fall, I took a ceramics class. We learned a variety of techniques. First, we started with hand molding, and then we had this press so we could do some extrusion with the clay. And then finally, we got to the wheel. To demonstrate, our teacher sat down with this ball of clay that she just plopped right on the wheel. She began spinning it and shaping it, and before long, she had this beautiful bowl. "Now it's your turn," she said. I struggled immediately. The wheel was spinning too fast, my fingers were uneven, the clay wobbled and collapsed and then just caved in on itself. We had this privilege, though, of being able to go in after hours for this particular class, so I went night after night to practice, desperately hoping to coax this stupid ball of clay into something that looked mildly respectable. Each time it failed, though, I would get frustrated at it. I would get mad at the clay, and so I would throw it away. Then one day, during class, my professor stopped me as I was about to discard the clay. "Press it back down and start again," she said. "The clay isn't ruined, it just needs to be reshaped." Jeremiah tells us a similar story. God sends him to watch a potter at work. The clay collapses on the wheel. It won't hold the form the potter first intended. But instead of discarding it, the potter gathers the clay, presses it together again, and reshapes it into something new. And then God's words come to Jeremiah, "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." This is not a story about perfection. It's a story about transformation, about the divine willingness to rework what has been misshapen. Unlike me, God does not discard the clay. God does not discard broken people, failed systems, or collapsed communities. God presses them back down, moistens them with living water, and then reshapes them for new life. This is a hopeful vision. God doesn't abandon creation when it falters. God reshapes. God begins again. We saw this need for reshaping clearly during the Bear Gulch fire. Families were fleeing their homes. Smoke was thick in the air. Neighbors were helping neighbors. And into that moment of fear and displacement came ICE agents, arresting people already vulnerable, already terrified. And this is what happens when human systems are formed by fear rather than compassion. Instead of creating a vessel of refuge, we shape instruments of exclusion. Instead of water jars that carry life, we fashion barriers that deepen suffering. And it makes me wonder what Jeremiah would say. The potter forms clay with patience, knowing that every vessel has worth. Even if at times it gets spoiled, it can be remade. But here in our society, we act as if some clay is just simply worthless. As if the Creator didn't breathe the same spirit into all of us. Instead of shaping lives with justice and care, we break them with cruelty and fear. Now, I want to tell you about one of my favorite stories from Jewish mythology, about the golem. Golem literally means unformed mass. So this particular legend comes about around 16th century Prague, and it goes like this. Rabbi Judah Lowe fashioned a golem from clay on the riverbank. He made it in the shape of a person with prayers, and he wrote the sacred name of God on a slip of paper, which he rolled up and then put into the golem's mouth. It instantly came to life. It became this hulking, silent protector for the Jewish community that was being persecuted at that point. And the golem was a helper at first. He would carry water, protect children, and stand guard when danger approached. But then things go south. The golem was powerful, and power without wisdom can become destructive. In some versions of the story, the golem grows restless and is unable to distinguish a friend from a foe and starts injuring people, including his creator. So finally, the rabbi removes that sacred word from his mouth, and then the creature just returns to dust. A golem is not truly alive. It looks like life, but it lacks the fullness of that breath of God. When we create systems that function without compassion, when they move with mechanical strength but no heart, no spirit, they become the golems. They're powerful, blunt, and unfeeling. They protect some at the expense of others. And like the golem of Prague, they eventually become dangerous to the very people who once thought they needed them. But Jeremiah's God is different. The true creator doesn't make golems. God makes children. God makes neighbors. God makes firefighters and immigrants and parents and potters and bakers and dreamers and every other sort of people. God breathes into us life, not mindless obedience, but relationship and dignity and freedom. And that is why Jeremiah insists we are not the potter. When we attempt to control the shaping of life with fear or prejudice or violence, we create golems. Only though in God's hands is creation shaped into a vessel of life. Only in God's hands are collapsed lives reworked into hope. And only in God's hands are nations reformed to be communities of justice. And right here is where the church meets the world. In our baptismal covenant, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to strive for justice and peace, and to respect the dignity of every human being. That covenant we have, that is God's pottery wheel in motion. It is shaping us over and over and over again to help us meet the needs of the world around us. When creation groans under fire or flood, we are called to let God reshape us into partners for ecological healing. When our neighbors are treated as disposable, we are called to witness that no clay is ever ruined. And so this week, I invite you to look at one place in your life or in our common life where it seems as though the clay has collapsed. Perhaps it's a relationship or a hope that you've let go of. Perhaps even it is just simply the despair you feel at looking at the news. Instead of discarding it, place it into God's hands and ask, how might this be pressed down and reshaped into something new? We are God's clay. God's wheel is still turning, and in God's hands, all things, all people, all creation can be reshaped into vessels of justice and mercy and love.